able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. I want to start with a question of values for all of you. What do you think, and answer this in your head, don't say it out loud. What do you think is more important? To glorify God or to have the compassion of God? Now, my guess, knowing all of you and how challenging you could be, you're probably saying both. Well, it's both, and I hope you would say that. But the dichotomy of this kind of question of values is what we see not only in our gospel story today, but honestly, it's kind of what I see in the shape that churches have taken throughout this country. When you look at this story, and if you were to ask this question for the people in this particular story, it would seem that the Pharisees are saying, well, glorifying God is far more important. And this is all around the Sabbath. And for the Pharisees, the Sabbath is all about devoted time to glorify God. And so when Jesus comes and heals this woman, in their mind, he has acted against that value. And I hear the story, and the pastor in me wants to say, yes, go Jesus. Jesus is choosing compassion. Jesus is saying that the compassion of God, especially towards the powerless and the weak, is far more important than glorifying God. That's a value that I, as a pastor, feel very deeply, and I want to read this story and say, Jesus has my side in this one. And then I'm reminded that, as I always need to do, I need to step back and look at this story in the context in which it's happening. And Jesus, in this moment, he is framing all of this, everything that has just happened, it is all being framed within the idea of Sabbath. And for Jesus, Sabbath is a commemoration. It is a commemoration of the liberation that the Jews experienced from Egypt. Now, not a lot of people know this, but the Ten Commandments are actually written in the Bible in two different spots. They're written in first in Exodus. And when you read the Ten Commandments in Exodus and you get to the part where God says, keep the Sabbath and keep it holy, the reasoning behind that is that God says, well, I created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day I rested, and so therefore you all should rest too. You all should have Sabbath because I have kept Sabbath. The Ten Commandments are also written in the book of Deuteronomy, which was written several centuries after the book of Exodus was written. And there's not a whole lot of changes to the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy than there are in the book of Exodus, but there is one notable change. When you get to this part about keeping the Sabbath and keeping it holy, it's not because God rested on the seventh day. It says very specifically in Deuteronomy chapter 5 that you were all slaves in Egypt, and you have been liberated. So you will take a break from all of your work and toil, and you will have a day to commemorate that liberation. And that's where Jesus comes in this story. Look at the language that's used when he addresses the synagogue leader about this woman. He says, Satan has bound this woman for 18 long years. Shouldn't she be set free from her bondage? Jesus is looking at this act that he's performing on Sabbath as an act of Sabbath, as an act of liberation, as an act of restorative justice, healing this woman and bringing her back to a place where she can glorify God, just like everybody else is doing on that Sabbath day. You see, the social justice person in me wants this to be a story where Jesus is triumphantly saying compassion always comes before glorifying God. But I don't think that Jesus is placing compassion over glorifying God. I think rather Jesus is saying that compassion is another way to glorify God. And it's definitely a reminder for me that when I say that statement out loud, what do you think's more important, glorifying God or the compassion of God? I probably would have been that arrogant young kid who would have jumped up and said, compassion, 100% of the time. So I think maybe this is a sermon more for me than it is for all of you. I spend a good deal of my time looking at the values that I see in other churches, not just our own. And I look at the values that I see in the Bible and in our sacred writings. I look at the values that I see in the Old Testament and the New Testament and Paul, and definitely the values that I see in Jesus. And often I think, I've got the market on all of this stuff. I have it figured out. I'm the one with the master's degree. I know better than everybody else. And when I look at churches that devote a significant portion of their budget on a worship service, in my mind, I think, that's wrong. That's money that could be spent helping people. And I disagree with that value that those churches have. But then I realize that I come and the worshipful experiences I have, the glorifying of God that I do, is pretty much relegated to this 1 hour on Sunday. And I'd say I spend probably 95% of that hour worrying about how the service is going, and maybe 5% in actual genuine worship and glorifying God for everything amazing and beautiful that we have in this life. And I have to tell myself, there is a lot that I could learn from our more theologically conservative brothers and sisters. And there's probably a lot that they could learn from us in how our works of compassion and justice that are a centerpiece of this church are ways that we glorify God. So here's where I kind of conclude on all of this. I think really our kind of goal or our destination in life is to seek and experience these various moments of union with God. I want to say that again. I really think kind of the goal and destination of this life are these experiences and the seeking out of union with God, where we actually feel deep down in our soul that we are experiencing union with the divine here and now. And I talk about this a lot, the here and the now. And I think you can experience that union in your compassion, in your justice work towards other people, in seeing the face of God in the weak and the powerless and the least of these. But the lesson for me today is that you can also experience union with God in complete, worshipful glorifying of God. In encountering God in the beauty of this creation, and encountering God in music that just seems to make you move. We have a woman here, I'm not going to call her out by name, but she said she worships now by holding her hand up in the air. I said, if you do that today, you're going to make some people feel very uncomfortable. But I think that's the lesson too. There are worshipful experiences where you can't just help but fall down on your knees or lift your hands into the air or just close your eyes and move with the music. You know, Lutherans are known as the frozen chosen because we don't do that kind of stuff. But just the idea that that experience exists out there and people are able to capture it and in those moments lose themselves to time and space and experience union with God. It's out there. And folks, us frozen chosens, we're missing out on it. So I want you to ask yourselves today, where do I tend to move most in my own glorifying of God? Is it through the work? Is it through the justice? Is it through the compassion? Is it in reaching out to the least of these? And if you're like me, it's not so much in those worshipful experiences. Or are you not like me? And you do experience your union with God far more in those worshipful experiences. Do you spend far more time seeking that personal union, seeking that worshipfulness and that thankfulness, and not a whole lot of time trying to extend that same compassion of God to the least of these around us? Only you can answer that question, and I would say for all of us today, the invitation is to seek out what's on the other side of where we spend most of our time in one way or another. The real big lesson for me today is that if anyone thinks they have the market on how to glorify God or how to experience union with God, if they think they have the market and others don't, you're only cheating yourself. Because if we can glorify God in our worship, and if we can glorify God in our compassion, and we experience union with God in all of that, shouldn't we be pursuing every moment of it? Amen. Please stand as you are able.